Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book The Money Kings by Daniel Shulman is a work of narrative history that examines how German-Jewish immigrant families helped build the foundations of modern American finance. Centered on figures such as the Seligmans, Lehmans, Goldmans, Sachses, Lubes, and Schiffs, the book traces their rise from marginalized newcomers to highly influential bankers and financiers on Wall Street. Shulman presents this history not simply as a business chronicle, but as an account of immigration, identity, anti-Semitism, philanthropy, and power in the Gilded Age and early 20th century. The book shows how these families navigated exclusion from elite society while establishing institutions that would become central to American capitalism. It also places their financial success alongside their commitments to Jewish causes and broader civic reform. As a result, the book offers both a social history of Jewish assimilation and a financial history of the making of Wall Street. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, German-Jewish immigration and the path from peddling to finance. A central thread in the book is the immigrant trajectory that brought German-Jewish families from Europe to the United States and eventually into finance. Shulman shows that many of these men began in modest commercial work, often as peddlers or small merchants, before moving into larger trading and banking operations. That progression matters because it illustrates how immigrant entrepreneurship could evolve in response to opportunity and exclusion. Finance was not an obvious starting point, but it became a field where commercial skill, trust networks, and family ties could be leveraged into power. The book treats this movement as historically significant, not as a simple rags-to-riches story, since it depended on the social conditions of the era and the limitations placed on Jews in both Europe and America. By following these pathways, Shulman explains how immigrant experience shaped institutional development on Wall Street. Secondly, family networks that built Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Kuhn Loeb. The book is structured around a small number of interconnected families and firms, including Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Kuhn Loeb. Shulman emphasizes that these were not isolated success stories, but parts of a broader network of kinship, marriage, business partnerships, and shared communities. This family-centered approach helps explain how trust operated in a period when formal financial institutions were still consolidating and personal reputation remained essential. It also shows why Wall Street power often developed through dynastic succession, not just individual brilliance. The book pays close attention to how these firms financed railroads, industrial consolidation, and major corporate deals, which gave them influence far beyond their own balance sheets. By framing Wall Street through these interlocking families, Shulman highlights the social architecture behind financial power and the way that inherited relationships helped create durable institutions. Thirdly, anti-Semitism, social exclusion, and the search for legitimacy. Shulman does not present the financiers merely as triumphant business pioneers. He also shows how they operated in a society that remained openly anti-Semitic. Even after achieving enormous wealth, many of these men were excluded from elite clubs, socially segregated in Manhattan, and treated with suspicion by the Gentile establishment. That tension between achievement and exclusion is one of the book's most important analytical points. It explains why wealth did not automatically translate into full acceptance, and why these financiers often formed their own institutions, social circles, and philanthropic outlets. The book also suggests that their limited public visibility was partly strategic, since keeping a low profile could reduce backlash while preserving influence. This theme gives the book a sharper social dimension than a standard banking history, because it shows that Wall Street success for Jewish immigrants was always shaped by identity, prejudice, and negotiation with hostile institutions. Fourthly, philanthropy, Jewish solidarity, and responsibility beyond Wall Street. Another major dimension of the book is the connection between wealth and communal responsibility. Shulman describes how these financiers used their fortunes to support Jewish causes, relief efforts, and institutions serving immigrants and the poor. Their philanthropy was not limited to abstract charity. It often reflected urgent responses to persecution abroad, including pogroms and broader hardship facing Jews in Eastern Europe. The book also links these figures to the growth of settlement houses and civic reform efforts in New York, showing that their influence extended beyond finance into social welfare. This emphasis matters because it complicates the usual stereotype of Wall Street as morally detached or purely self-interested. Shulman argues, implicitly and sometimes explicitly, that these financiers saw themselves as part of a larger people and a broader moral network. Their giving, therefore, becomes a key part of the book's interpretation of Jewish wealth in America. Lastly, railroad financing, global politics, and the making of modern finance. The book devotes substantial attention to the financial mechanics that made these men powerful, especially railroad financing and major investment banking operations. These transactions were not background detail. They were the machinery through which modern American capitalism expanded. Shulman uses them to show how the bankers helped shape industrial growth, capital concentration, and the national economy. He also connects finance to international politics, including the role of Jewish financiers in funding Japan during the Russo-Japanese War, which he links to the later stereotype of the greedy Jewish moneylender. That argument shows how financial decisions could reverberate far beyond Wall Street and influence public perceptions of Jews. The book therefore works on two levels at once. It explains technical financial history and also explores how capital, empire, war, and prejudice became entangled. This gives the narrative a broad historical reach while keeping finance at the center of the story. In conclusion, The Money Kings is best suited for readers interested in Jewish history, immigrant experience, American capitalism, and the origins of Wall Street power. It will also appeal to readers who want a serious historical account of how a small number of families helped shape finance, philanthropy, and elite culture in the United States. The book offers intellectual value by connecting business history to larger questions of identity, exclusion, and assimilation. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand how personal networks and ethnic solidarity influence the rise of major financial institutions. Compared with many Wall Street histories, this book stands out because it is not only about markets, deals, and institutions. It is equally about the social world that made those institutions possible and the prejudice that limited full acceptance even after great wealth was achieved. Shulman's combination of economic history and Jewish social history gives the book a distinctive scope. Readers looking for a detailed, historically grounded portrait of modern finance through the lens of immigrant family networks will find it particularly rewarding. If you would like to support Daniel Shulman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.